Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library Podcast. I'm Dama Tamanawala. You know my co-host, Garrett McGilvery. And today we are joined virtually by a return guest. Ritu Gupta is the CEO and president of Easton's Group of Hotels. Easton's Group of Hotels is the largest private hotel developer in Canada with 19 hotels and several projects in the works. Ritu actually joined us back in February of 2020. It is crazy to think about how far things have moved, how much the industry has changed in the last month and a half or so. But she was kind enough to share her insights, what she's seeing. I do want to give a quick note. We're using Microsoft Teams and we had a slight audio issue at the beginning, but stick with us because you're going to want to hear her insights and what she has to share. Before we dive in, I want to say a quick thank you to our two sponsors, KMB Law and Mizrahi Developments. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. Ritu, thank you again for joining us. And can you tell us a little bit about the state of the nation of the hotel industry and what you're seeing? Obviously, it's been a crazy few weeks.
I wish I had better news for both of you. The travel industry and the hotel industry has been hit really, really tragically, unfortunately. So you're seeing hotels closing, you know, across Canada globally as well. Marriott, Hilton, they both have had to close many of the hotels worldwide. RevPAR is at, you know, such low rates, maybe at $20, $30, and that's the best case scenario. Occupancies are down to single digits, mostly right now, especially because right now, as we record this, it's Easter weekend, there's a lot of hotels that are sitting at 0% occupancy. And across Toronto, you've seen many, many hotels temporarily closed. So it's unfortunately, it's a really dismal, you know, news to give you all, but it's definitely, we've been really hard.
How does this compare to sort of like SARS, like when SARS hit, Toronto got hit particularly hard by SARS and, you know, some of the other, like the recession in 2008 type of event?
You know, what's interesting because everyone is comparing it to SARS, comparing it to recessions. But when people make that comparison, they're also saying that they've never had a situation like this. So with SARS, I think we saw drops from in 2003, from April to June-ish, occupancy dropped 30 to 50%. And to be honest, after June, it started creeping up and it normalized by the end of the year. So it wasn't that bad. I mean, at the time, it was horrible and everybody was panicking and freaking out. But it wasn't as bad as it is now.
Right. Yeah. Well, because now it's kind of a 1-2 punch where with SARS, it was just the idea of this disease being in Toronto or you know, being in different countries. With this, it's mandated closures and people are not able to travel. How has that kind of impacted, have you guys kind of closed the portfolio down? I know that for most hotel operators, they've never had to close. Like, you know, you never would do that. So it's a really new process and it's a really, you know, strange time.
It's insane, for lack of better words. I don't think any hotelier in Toronto has had to temporarily close a hotel for this reason. And the same thing with us. So when we were waiting, before Premier Ford had launched the essential businesses, we weren't even sure if we would be on that list. I mean, at that point, San Francisco hotels were essential. In PEI, hotels were essential, but we weren't sure. So we were all kind of waiting for him to publish a list. Once we were, I kind of took the opportunity to make sure that our hotels felt empowered by this. So I tried to start sort of like a rally chant and I sent an email out to all of our hotels saying, we the essential and we the North, and trying to get them to understand that, you know, we're considered essential business and that's actually very good for us, right? That we're not forced to close. So we have about 60% of our hotels open at the moment, only because, to be honest, we're taking a huge hit, but I refuse to let COVID defeat us and I want to ensure that we still have people working, because for me, that is the most heartbreaking thing, that we've had to send people home. So we have 90% of our hotels open right now. Unfortunately, occupancies are really, really low, single digits at that. Some of our hotels, actually, we have a hotel out in Thunder Bay. He's killing it right now. Somehow he's sitting at, 40%, which is amazing. He's doing such a fantastic job. Honestly, all of our GMs have done a fantastic job navigating through this crisis because nobody really knows what's happening and you're monitoring it daily. And daily, there's new news, there's new cases. So you really just have to be quick to maneuver.
Yeah.
Has there been any requests from sort of the municipality or the government to, like, I know they've talked about modifying the use of hotels for whatever type of reason, whether it's for hospital uses or city uses type of thing?
I think they're targeting the closed hotels for that. So I think what they're doing is the hotels that are closed for business, those hotels are deciding to become sort of a pseudo hospital. But the hotels are operating, unfortunately, no hotel is equipped to take patients in that sense. But for us, we are taking healthcare workers. And I think at this time we should, give our gratitude and our thanks to all the frontline workers and the healthcare workers that have been working so hard for us. Garrett, I know you even have family members that are, that are working the front lines for us. So it's amazing. We're lucky to be able to stay home. So we have a lot of healthcare workers staying with us. So if they want to be in isolation from their family, they're opting to stay in hotels.
Awesome. And what kind of steps would hoteliers, I know this is a brand new event, effectively nobody's really navigated it before, but what kind of steps are you taking to get out of this? Like when the, the closures stop and, plane travel starts occurring again between certain countries, potentially, what are you doing to line up your portfolio to be operational again?
It's a great question. Unfortunately, there's not much that you can do right now to plan because things are changing daily. So for us, it's more so monitoring the news. And I think a lot of what's going to happen in the future depends on the government and depends on infrastructure. I think for the future, the governments just have to react a little more quick. I think Premier Ford has done a fantastic job because he started his state of emergency before we hit our peak, whereas other countries, I feel they hit their state of emergency during the peak. But I think we were sort of ahead of that curve. So I think in terms of planning ahead, honestly, you just have to stay positive. And for me, first and foremost, is our staff to make sure that they're healthy and that we're not putting anybody in jeopardy right now. So that's right now, that's all we can really plan for. And we just hope for the best.
Yeah. And Ritu, how are lenders kind of surveying the landscape in hotels? I heard that in the U.S., in the Great Recession, they had default rates of 25% to 30% for hotel operators down there, whereas Canada was 5 to 10%. Are you seeing kind of rent relief, or sorry, mortgage payment relief from some of these larger lenders?
That's right. We are. And honestly, we have great partnerships with all of our lenders, and they have been fantastic with us. And they're all there saying whatever we can do to help. So we've definitely seen that. We haven't seen, lenders coming in and trying to take advantage of the situation. Everyone's been very friendly and very understanding.
Gotcha. And a similar question for the government. Are they offering any support to hospitality and tourism?
They are, actually. So I believe Trudeau launched the emergency wage subsidy program, which was last week. And he's allowing open businesses. I believe they're going to take care of 75% of the wages, which is amazing because we have a lot of our hotels open. So that's really, really going to help us in the long run.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, like, you have so many employees, right? Like thousands. It's a very employee intensive business. And further to Garrett's question as well, what do you see happening at the tail end? Obviously, it's challenging to make a guess, but do you think there's going to be this surge in demand of people who wanted to get out to conferences, wanted to travel, and now they finally get out of their house and that's the first thing they're doing? Or do you think it will have more of a sustained impact of people kind of, changing their behavior for the long term?
Funny. So I'm definitely from Scotland. Okay? So Scotland is always overcast, dark, there's never any sun. But the weekend that I was there, there was one day when it was immensely sunny. People went nuts and everybody was out of the bars. They were drinking, they were in restaurants. And that because the sun is out, they feel like they're kind of out of prison and they're going nuts. So in my opinion, I think once once the travel bans are lifted, I think we're going to see a surge in demand for sure. Also, the social distancing rules, those have to be lifted as well. But I'm optimistic that once this is all done and over with, every business will see a surge in demand because people have been stuck in their houses for so long. So I do think that we'll see a huge benefit by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, and ideally pick right up where we left off. I know talking again with our Colliers Hotels group, and they were mentioning they just finished their 2019 report, which was talking about how strong the hotel industry was. You know, obviously this is a little bump in the road, but hopefully we can pick up where we left off.
So Ritu, what are your thoughts on the ban of Airbnbs?
Bring my nervous tick back. You know what's interesting? So I think the government did the right thing where I think they banned the short-term stays with Airbnbs because naturally they're more so used for parties and get-togethers and that type of thing. So I believe now they're geared towards the longer-term stays, yeah? So the 28-day to 6 months, which I think, I mean, it makes sense in this day and age. Unfortunately, you know how I feel about Airbnb, and I don't think, especially during this pandemic, I think you're a lot safer to stay in hotels. There's more security. You know that things are being disinfected, but you don't know that with Airbnbs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, so you think this will be a good positive thing for the hotel industry because Airbnb owners will have to occupy their space with more longer-term guests, and then therefore they're locked into a lease effectively at that point, like a 6-month, 12-month lease, whatever it might be. And then the supply will dwindle down and there'll be more availability for the hotel space to gobble up the demand.
Let's hope so, because they're that demographic that's looking for those long-term stays that long, it's a little bit different. We also have extended stay hotels. And I mean, the benefit with staying for 28 days to 6 months in a hotel is you have housekeeping and you have people taking care of you. There's also guests that you'll see. There's food offered to you. So I think there's a market for both, but obviously I think staying in a hotel is better for extended stay.
Yeah. Ritu, do you have any advice for the smaller operators? Obviously, you guys are the largest private hotel operator here in Canada. Any suggestions for some of the smaller guys?
First and foremost, take care of the people and make sure that you're taken care of financially, whatever you can do, because at the end of the day, we're in the service industry and our people are serving others. So if they're not happy, then once you open again, your service is really going to take an impact. So I would say at this time, my only goal is to make sure that our people are happy. And that would be the advice that I would give to the smaller business owners. As well, if they do some research, there's a lot of loans that you can get for small businesses, and including on a federal standpoint, the emergency wage subsidy. So there's a lot of help that our industry can get right now, which can really help small to large businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's great advice. Well, Ritu, thank you so much for joining us and good luck and stay safe out there and all the best to you and your employees and family as well.
Thank you so much. You both as well. It's so nice to see your faces.
Yeah.
This is why we do these things. Great.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. This is the end of the podcast. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to subscribe, share, rate the podcast, let us know what you thought, and drop us a comment if you can about who you'd like to see, what perspective you'd like to hear, and what questions you have about navigating this crazy COVID-19 epidemic in the real estate markets. Thanks for listening.